Hello and welcome to another Dobby's podcast, which is all about gardening with your children. I'm Louise Midgley, garden writer of the Sunday Express, and I'm joined by Louise Golden, Dobby's resident gardening expert. Hello, Louise.
Hi, Louise. Great to be with you.
Well, today's episode is all about gardening with your children. I have such fond memories of gardening with my grandfather when I was a child. It's a great activity to share with your children because it has an end result. If you can spark a child's imagination by teaching them how to grow a bunch of beautiful flowers or maybe something delicious to eat, then you'll be giving them a skill for life. It also gets them away from their screens and into the fresh air. We've had some really interesting questions from parents and children across the UK, which Louise and I are going to try and answer. Louise, have you had much experience gardening with children?
Yes, I do. I've got two children myself. They're now sort of grown up teenagers now, but their childhood was spent constantly out in the garden. And as a child myself, I learned my passion of gardening from my grandparents. So both sets of my grandparents were keen gardeners, and I couldn't help but pick up the thrill of gardening from them.
Yes, I did, as I said, from my grandfather, and he gave me a little plot in the garden, and I grew marrows and spring onions and radishes. And I just felt so proud when the family ate the marrow with white sauce that I'd grown, with such a sense of achievement. And I think that's where I got hooked, and I've loved it ever since.
Yes, and I used to run off down to my grandfather's vegetable patch and pinch his freshly podded peas. And then I had my own little veggie patch as well, just like you, and really, really enjoyed it. And it was only a tiny little patch, but you really just don't need much to get started. And I know I really, really enjoyed it. It was a great way to get the gardening bug.
This first question is from Lewis, who is 7 years old and comes from East Lothian. And he wants to know how to grow sunflowers.
Sunflowers are a really lovely, easy thing to grow. And not only do they have lovely, big, smiley, sunny faces that cheers everybody, they also are fantastic for wildlife. Because when they finish flowering, then they provide loads and loads of sunflower seeds for our birds. So for children, they're a great thing to learn to grow, because it introduces children to the natural world around them. So get them going as early as you can, and you can start them off in little pots on the windowsill. And it's a great little challenge for children to play with friends, that they can share a packet of seed, and they can all then have a little competition about who can grow the tallest sunflower. But as I said, get them going indoors on a nice sunny windowsill, and as they get bigger, move them on into bigger pots and maybe stake them with a little bamboo cane to support them as they get taller. And then you can start to plant them out in the garden when we've had the last frost. Put them somewhere lovely and sunny, and maybe somewhere sheltered away from any really, really strong winds. And they will continue to grow, and then they'll flower all through the summer and then provide lots of seed for birds in the autumn.
And I've got an interesting little fact about sunflowers. During the day, they move their heads to track the sun's movement across the sky. And during the night, they move their heads back to their original position. Bees like warm flowers to feed from. So quite possibly it helps with the pollination. But I thought that was quite interesting.
Yes, I think sunflowers are a great way to introduce to garden, because sunflowers make everybody happy. So it's a really good way, as I say, to get the gardening bug.
Yeah, and you can always grow, if you haven't got much space, grow the little dwarf sunflowers. They're easy to grow. And then there's the lovely multi-branching ones, which you can have in the back of a border and then have loads of cut flowers from them. I love those. There's some lovely sort of like dark brown ones that I grow sometimes.
That's right. There are some amazing colours. And, you know, the joy of growing sunflowers isn't just from when you're children. My daughter's a teenager and we've got about, 20 pots of sunflowers growing at the moment. I'm really not sure where they're going to go. We thought about maybe planting some on the roadside to cheer people as they're driving by.
Oh, good idea.
You'll never stop enjoy growing sunflowers. They're a really nice, cheery thing to do.
Sunny, happy flower, aren't they? Wonderful. Wonderful for children as well. A question now from Isabel, who is 13 and comes from Cumbria, and she has a new puppy. She asks, what can we do to ensure our garden is safe for the puppy? Are there certain plants or plant products we should avoid?
Well, I know that if I had a new puppy, one of the first things I'd be doing would be to put a little fence around my borders, because I'd be a little bit concerned about the puppy going into my borders. And if you're concerned about what they might find to eat, whether it's a plant or anything that could be around in your garden, then I would suggest that really you fence off some of the borders that you're worried about. Or maybe just secure an area of the garden that you know your puppy is safe, away from all your plants.
Yes, that's a good idea. Just a specific area that they can go in, because they do love digging up new plants, don't they? I mean, digging, they love digging, full stop.
There are a few plants that you do have to worry about, or that you really should keep an eye out. And there are a couple of, you know, really quite sort of poisonous ones. So, for example, laburnum trees, they've got quite poisonous seeds and they can be scattered around the garden. So if you have a laburnum tree, then I would really sort of watch out for that, because that can be a little bit poisonous. And also, say in the autumn, if you were planting bulbs, if you were out in the garden and you were planting daffodil bulbs at that time of the year, I wouldn't leave any lying around in case they picked them up and ran away with them and ate them, because those can be upsetting to their tummies. So just be a little bit mindful.
Yes, and secure your whole perimeter as well, so where your boundaries are, because dogs do love to dig underneath fences as well. So always check regularly that they haven't dug. And also always check slug pellets and weed killer. I don't use any of those products anymore, but if you are going to use them, check that they're dog friendly or animal friendly, because, you know, they could easily eat those. And cocoa chips, have you ever heard of the cocoa chips? It's like a mulch.
Yes.
That's also not good for dogs to eat, so avoid that.
No, absolutely. I used to have those on my borders, but I have to say I haven't used that for quite a while. But yes, definitely be mindful of any products that you use in your garden. Always go for organic where you can, and always read the instructions. But there's a whole range of products out there now which don't have any nasty chemicals or anything in them. So you can feel quite safe with your children and pets around, that you won't be causing any problems.
Yes. And I think as she's got a puppy, to train the puppy right from the start not to wee on the lawn, because that makes nasty marks. If it refuses to, you know, obey that, then just hose it down with water afterwards. Otherwise, your lawn is going to have lots of nasty dieback and burn marks. And maybe if you've got a pond, put a grill on it, because, you know, they might fall in. If it's a puppy, might fall and not be able to get out. So that's definitely worth thinking about as well. We have a very sensible question here from 7-year-old Millie from Midlothian, who asks, how do you know which plants to eat and which not to eat? What are the best plants for eating?
I think really the best thing to do is not to eat anything unless you've checked with a parent first. The garden can be full of very pretty, eye-catching berries and fruits, but I would always check with a parent before testing anything, whether that's at home in the garden or whether that's out when you're walking in nature. Always check with your parent first. There'll be lots that you could choose to eat from the vegetable patch, but again, just check with your mum and dad first before you start eating any of those.
And on the vegetable patch, it can be quite confusing, because rhubarb, for example, the stems are very edible, but the leaves are not.
Yes, absolutely. The leaves should be avoided by children and your pets too. So yes, always check with a grown-up before eating anything from the vegetable patch.
And here is a question from mum Rachel Evans from Cardiff, who has noticed that her two children, aged 2 and 4, have started taking an interest in where their food comes from. Where would be a good place for Rachel to start explaining to her children?
I think a really nice place to start is to grow some strawberries. Very, very easy. And you get a whole load of different varieties, so you can get sort of fruit at different times. And strawberries are great for little fingers for picking. So a pot of strawberries is a really nice place to start. Also, a potato sack is really good fun, because you can use an actual potato planter sack, or failing that, an old compost bag with some holes in it. And you only need 3 seed potatoes in it, and that will give you a lovely crop. And the children can keep filling up the bag as the potatoes are growing. And then when they're ready to be harvested, they can tip them out and gather all the potatoes for their supper. So I think those two are a really nice way to get going. In the summer, how about doing some cherry tomatoes? Because you'll have lots and lots of really lovely, sweet little cherry fruits to pick. And I think that's, again, a really nice idea for children.
And I think children are far more likely to eat something that they've grown themselves. You know, if you encourage them to plant the seed and to water it and nurture it all the time, then when it's ready to be picked, they're far more likely to have a go if they're a bit picky about eating their vegetables.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. And also very important to introduce your children to vegetables young, because that habit then stays with them and it encourages that sort of healthy diet going forward. There's lots of research that tells us that children that are introduced to gardening from a young age lead a much healthier and an outdoor lifestyle later. but also they're more engaged with nature. And also they are going to be the custodians of the planet going forward. So it's very important to introduce it to them young.
Yes, they are indeed. And I always remember that programme on television with Jamie Oliver when he had a whole lot of children and he showed them lots of different vegetables and he asked them if they knew what the names of the vegetables were and even where they how they grew in the ground or on trees. And sadly, very few children did. They were very unable to identify what the potatoes were for a start. They knew what chips were, but they didn't know that chips came from potatoes.
And as you say, I think if they grow them themselves, then they're being more inclined to try them. And the flavour is just so much better than vegetables from the supermarket that once they start, I'm sure they'll be hooked.
I love this next question. I think you're going to love it as well. Ruby Henshaw from Derbyshire, who's 9 years old, asks if it's possible to make a greenhouse from plastic bottles.
Oh, now that's a really interesting one.
It is.
You'd need a lot of plastic bottles to do that, wouldn't you?
She would.
I think we'd be a little bit concerned that whether it would be substantial enough.
It might blow away.
Definitely with some of the winters we have. But I did see a really lovely greenhouse recently, which I thought was a fantastic idea. And it was a lovely gentleman that I actually met up in Glasgow on his allotment. And he had built his greenhouse stroke potting shed out of the acetate windows from a bus shelter. So I guess the bus companies must be upgrading all their bus shelters. And there was all this acetate that wasn't being used. So it's a really nice way to recycle or upcycle and turned it into the most fantastic greenhouse that had a character all of its own and so unlike anybody else's. Yeah. So you don't need to spend a fortune.
It just shows you
just don't need to spend a fortune. You can recycle and upcycle.
Yeah, recycle, recycle. Maybe she could make just a small cold frame rather than a large greenhouse or a very mini greenhouse. I don't know where she's going to get all her bottles from, but...
Yes, that's the only thing. I think probably we would probably say now that maybe not bottles because we're not very strong advocates, are we, of single-use plastic?
Single-use plastic, exactly.
Yes.
No, that's so true. Finally, Nikki Scarfe, a mum from Huntingdon, is looking for some creative ideas for her young teenage children. Some sort of small gardening project that they could take ownership of. Any ideas for that?
Well, I've got a couple of interesting ones. My son did DT at school, so I quite often set him on little woodworking projects. Recently, he made me a little trolley on wheels to store all my bags of compost. I think everybody was getting fed up of my bags of compost sitting around the shed, so they thought that was my Mother's Day gift, actually, so they thought
How
that
useful.
Would tidy that up. Another idea, which I think looks really great, I haven't tried it myself yet, but is to make a raised bed out of a pallet, which I think is a really good way to turn something that's sitting around into something really, really useful. It looks really simple and I think it makes a really nice, interesting raised bed. I think that's quite a nice project. I know my daughter would love a little sanctuary in the garden somewhere, so a nice little seating area that can be called her own. Or even a garden building that can be turned into a bit of a hangout shelter for them. I think that's really great.
Give them the free hand with a paint and decorating and let them go to town.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's somewhere they can have their friends round and they're not worried about all being in the house. So yes, I think encourages them to use the garden, but in a different way.
Yes. And pallets, those lovely pallets can be used for seating as well. I've seen lots of seats being made out of old pallets. They're often free. Often you can pick them up for nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. In our village at the moment, as I said, there are things being offered around and somebody offered pallets. And there's a couple who are at the moment building a shed out of pallets.
Wow.
So they were asking for any pallets that are around. So it probably take quite a few pallets,
ambitious.
I think, really.
Yeah, but
I'm going to be really interested to see what the finished shed looks like.
Oh, it'll look lovely. It'll be unique. I'm sure it'll be
really
lovely.
Yeah, definitely unique.
Yeah.
Yes, no, definitely.
Oh, thank you, Louise. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you all for listening. You can find more podcasts at dobbies.com that offer plenty of help and advice. And stay tuned for the next podcast, which will be out soon.